Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon.
Welcome back to News and Views. Politicians of all stripes continue to pledge to work to create new jobs to help jumpstart North Carolina's economy. A new report from the North Carolina Budget and Tax Center says public investments in public infrastructure must be an important part of any jobs plan. Edwin McClanahan is author of the report and joins us now to talk about it. Well, let's talk about your BTC brief, where you describe taxes as job creators. We're in an era where we hear the opposite from a lot of people, that we need to always lower taxes and we need to cut government spending to create jobs. Why is that philosophy wrong?
Well, I think that a lot of the folks who talk about cutting taxes, they don't look at what happens when you cut taxes, that especially at the state and local level, when you cut taxes, means you need to cut a lot of these valuable investments and services that, you know, really support high quality of life and really help to promote job growth. Looking at how taxes and the investments they finance, like in education and transportation and a lot of other valuable services like law enforcement and fire protection, a lot of these services are really important to businesses to reduce costs. So you see, if you have a really strong law enforcement presence or really strong fire protection system in your local government, that reduces cost to businesses in terms of insurance. They have less private costs for private security. But it also, if you look at investments in things like education and in transportation, really helps a lot of these businesses become more productive. So if you have more productive workers that have received a really sound education in your local public schools and in your public universities, that makes your business more profitable. It means that you're able to outcompete businesses in maybe some of these, you know, low-cost countries and low-cost states. So it's really a really important way for businesses to be able to thrive by having a really productive workforce.
That's what I thought was so interesting, because this is beyond the other point that you make often and others do, that actually just spending money and keeping people on their jobs so they have money to spend and stimulates the economy. And this is really beyond that. So it's really a two-pronged
effort. Right. It's you know, looking at both short and long term. So when you have really high unemployment like we currently do, when you use taxes to finance local services, what that does is it takes money that in many cases would otherwise have been saved or spent on imported goods or even recreational services outside the state or outside the country. It puts that money directly to work in the local economy through spending money to hire teachers, you know, for medical devices at local hospitals, things that, you know, when you put money into a lot of these local services, a lot of that money is spent directly in the local economy and cycles through and creates a lot of jobs.
On the national level, all we talk about is cutting the deficit now, even though we're still suffering from the recession. On the state level, the Republicans keep championing their tax cuts and their lower regulations as the only answer. How do we get to that point, do you think?
I think that a lot of it's been the disassociation of taxes from what they pay for. So I think that even as the anti-tax sentiment has really grown in the country, I think that people still recognize that a lot of the things that taxes finance, like education, like transportation and law enforcement, that those things are very important. It's just that a lot of the anti-tax sentiment kind of disassociated, you know, why we need taxes to pay for those things. And I think that even as you saw in Durham and Orange counties, that some of that anti-tax sentiment is starting to lose favor, and people understand that, you know, if you're able to authorize local taxes to pay for things like education and transportation, that that's going to create jobs both in the short term and in the long term.
Speaking of taxes, I want to ask you about another thing that you've spoke about recently at the General Assembly and have written a lot about, which is our corporate tax laws and regulations and how we treat out-of-state corporations in North Carolina. For folks who are listening who don't know anything about it, give us a quick explanation of what's the problem with how we tax out-of-state corporations.
Well, under law as of last year, the North Carolina Department of Revenue was able to do a pretty good job of making sure that a lot of these big corporations like Walmart or, you know, the limited brands that have attempted to use, you know, really arcane tax shelters to shift a lot of the profits they earn here in North Carolina to no tax states like Delaware and Nevada. So the Department of Revenue was able to use its authority to kind of force a lot of these corporations that really operate not just as one entity, but actually have a lot of subsidiaries placed all across the country. The Department of Revenue could, in some cases, combine these all these subsidiaries that operate all across the country into one corporation. So what that did was nullify a lot of the tax games that some of these companies play. But what happened this year is that you had the legislature pass a law that really constrained the ability of the Department of Revenue to stop a lot of these tax shelters. And I think that that's going to have some major consequences, both in terms of the amount of revenue that the state's going to have to finance a lot of those services that I was talking about. Some of the reports from the Department of Revenue suggest that there could be a one-time revenue loss of $350 million or more, in addition to a long-term revenue loss of $40, $50 to $100 million or more as more and more corporations take advantage of these tax shelters. But it also puts a lot of the locally owned businesses here in North Carolina at a competitive disadvantage.
So it's really about making companies pay taxes on the profits they make in North Carolina.
Right. That's exactly what it's about. And now there's the majority of states that have a corporate income tax in the U.S. actually require all companies that operate in multiple states to file as one corporation instead of separate subsidiaries. North Carolina is one of the minority states that generally requires companies as individual subsidiaries to file a separate tax return. And even a former Reagan Treasury official has said that basically allowing these separate subsidiaries to file as separate taxpayers, it is basically an open invitation to corporate tax avoidance. North Carolina really needs to move along the path that the majority of states with a corporate income tax have and require these multi-state corporations to file as one taxpayer.
But in fact, you've talked before about it looks like that we may be even going backwards more than that. There's a proposal to let corporations retroactively avoid taxes.
Right now, what the Revenue Laws Study Committee is looking at, they had a representative from this corporate entity in Washington, D.C. called the Council on State Taxation came and argued that what the state should do is apply these new rules that apply really strict limitations on what the Secretary of Revenue can do to shut down these tax shelters and apply those to all open years. So any sort of tax case going back to even the year 2000 where the Department of Revenue has found that corporations were playing games and shifting income into other states. What this group is saying that the legislature should do is basically absolve these corporations for their past tax shelter abuses based on these new rules that they've just put in force. And that would just be devastating. I mean, right now we're likely to be facing another shortfall over the course of the next budget year if the economy continues to falter. And this would be a huge one-time hit in revenues up to $350 million. That would blow a huge hole in the state budget.
It's so interesting to hear that you describe that when we now see polls that people are actually believe we should raise taxes on millionaires and that we need, as you mentioned, that taxes pay for things and people are starting to come around with that. And yet we're talking about allowing corporations not to pay their taxes. It seems that if people knew about this, it would be a pretty easy sell.
Yeah, I think that one of the reasons that the legislature passed this rule and that these corporations are pushing for this and it's kind of flying under the radar is because it's really wrapped in a lot of complicated legalese that they claim that it's necessary for certainty when you look at the actual impact of the policy is that it decreases certainty for corporations and what kind of taxes they're going to be paying. So I think it's basically that a lot of these corporations that are seeking to use these tax shelters are just kind of wrapping themselves in the complicated nature of this policy.
One of their other arguments is that this is a jobs bill.
Right. And there's no evidence behind that. I think it's just something that if you want to get any sort of policy passed these days, you just can associate it with jobs even without having any solid evidence behind what you're saying.
Well, Edwin, thanks for doing this report and thanks for being with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thanks again.
That's it for another edition of News and Views. Look for us on the web at ncpolicywatch.com. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Chris Fitzsimon. Thanks for joining us and we'll talk to you next week.
You've been listening to News and Views with Chris Fitzsimon, Director of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com. News and Views, a weekly look at state and policy issues, is a production of the North Carolina Justice Center.